So I want to drop an anchor text in Psalms 145, verses 8 and 9. And this is what it says. It says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." His mercy is over all that He has made. Man, what a rich, wholesome, powerful text about who our God is. And I want to talk to you this morning about mercy looks good on you. I want you to pray with me one more time. Father, we thank You so much for this moment that we get to dive into Your Word. God, I pray that Your Word would pierce our hearts, that it would heal our hearts, that we would experience You in a powerful way. And God, that we would walk away knowing You better than we did before. God, I ask You to help me preach. Help me to communicate Your Word that You have spoken in Jesus' mighty holy name. This church said, amen and amen. So I want you to help me for a moment by a show of hands. How many of you in this room currently drive a vehicle? Raise your hand. Come on, Columbia. You get to play along too. Raise your hand if you're with us in Columbia. How many of you drive regularly? Drive a vehicle. Amen. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, this one's a stretch. I want you to be honest. Remember, you're in church. How many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket? If so, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, don't lie in church. Columbia, raise your hand. Look at all that lawlessness in the house this morning. Wow. Man, you know, there was actually a season in my life, one of the first roles that I had at Three Trees Church was I got the opportunity to be our care pastor. And I was always doing hospital visits and funeral visits, and being in South Central Kentucky, you know, that requires a lot of travel because a lot of folks, when they get sick, they go to the hospital. You know, it's Louisville, it's Lexington, it's Bowling Green, Somerset. So in that season of my life, Ryan and I, we had just first got married. She actually said that we needed to budget for all the speeding tickets that I would get. And so, like, I was always on the road, and I had a problem. My dad told me that I had a lead foot. And Pastor Eric said that he wasn't going to bail me out. And so, anyway, just a season of life where I was just getting all these speeding tickets. And there was, in fact, one time in particular that I actually went to a court date in a county that was over an hour away because I got a ticket in that county. So Ryan and I got up very early. We decided to drive, and we went to this county that was over an hour away, and we spent a considerable amount of time in that court before we had the opportunity to leave. And coming out of the court because of a speeding ticket, got a ticket on my windshield for parking in the square next to the court. I mean, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. And so, yeah, I just had a season of my life where, man, there was one moment that I'm pretty sure that I was one ticket away from getting my license suspended, probably one ticket away. It was crazy. And so I've grown up a little bit since then, y'all. I'm doing much better in my life. God has saved me. He has healed me in Jesus' name. I hope He has healed you too. And so, but I want you to think for a moment. I want you to imagine that you get up and you get ready to come to the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. And you're in a bit of a rush. You get ready, you get the family in the car, get in the car, and you're in a rush, you're running late, it's been a hectic morning, and you drive to church, and you're doing a little bit of speeding on your way to church. And all of a sudden, you look in the rearview mirror, and some of you laughing, this has happened to some of y'all. You look in the rearview mirror, and you see that blue light special, and you're getting pulled over on a Sunday morning. The officer gets out. He comes to your window, asks for your license and registration, and he mentions and asks, "Do you know how fast you were going?" You say, "Oh, officer, I'm so, so sorry. I know I was speeding. Please forgive me. I was actually on my way to church. It's been a hectic morning." And that officer says, okay, I understand. "I'm going to let you off the hook, and I'm going to let you go. You're on your way to church, I understand, but slow down, be safe." He lets you go. He gives you mercy. I want you to imagine the same scenario. Get up, get the family ready, you get in the car, you're ready to go to church, and you're speeding to go to the church, and all of a sudden, again, you see the blue lights. And you get pulled over. Officer comes to the window, asks for your license and registration. And you begin to say, "Officer, I'm so, so sorry. I know that I was speeding. I was on my way to church. It's been a hectic morning. This has gone wrong. That has gone wrong." He says, okay. I want you to slow down. I want you to be safe because you're on your way to church. I'm going to let you off the hook, but just slow down. Be safe." And he starts to walk away. He says, "Oh, wait." He comes back. He says, "Oh, by the way, just because you're on your way to church, here's $50 to bless you on your way." I don't know that that's ever happened to anybody, but that would be grace. Grace lets you off the hook and then gives you something that you don't deserve. So mercy forgives and lets you off the hook. Grace forgives, lets you off the hook, and then gives you something that you don't deserve. How many of you are thankful for mercy and grace this morning? The mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. So I want to circle back for a moment to that anchor text that I read to you, Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. I really want us to get that into our spirit this morning. It says this: "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all." You may be going through a tough season. You may be going through some heartache and some hardship. You may be going through difficult times, but the Lord is still good to all. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. So if his mercy is over all that he has made, I can't help but to think about the scripture in Genesis 1:27, where it says that God created man in his own image. It says this: "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So if we are created in the image and the likeness of God, if God made man and woman in his image and in his likeness, and Psalms 145 verse 9 tells us that his mercy is over all that he has made, I can't help but to think that his mercy is all over you. So I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at him real big as you can, and tell him mercy looks good on you. Come on, Columbia, help me out. Look at your neighbor and let somebody know mercy looks good on you. I know many of you are much like me, and you want to know God. You don't just want to know about him. You don't just want to experience him. I mean, we want those things, but we want to know and experience God. And I believe if we want to know and experience God, we have to understand that Jesus taught us to also be aware of the devil. And the devil is the father of all lies. Jesus gave us that warning to be cautious about him. He's the father of all lies. And the enemy, he is constantly trying to lie to the believers of Jesus Christ. And so I believe that we need to know and understand God in a deeper way. And I believe that Psalms 145 verse 8 gives us three attributes of God that we need to know. And the first one is, God is gracious. God is gracious. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." His grace is a gift. It's not a result of our works. His grace is a gift. You know, I remember in my early 20s, 19, 20 years old, when I finally decided to go all in for Jesus Christ. I was tired of the roller coaster lifestyle, up and down for up one season for Jesus, down another, and I was tired of running from the call that Jesus had placed on my life. And I was ready to go all in for him. And upon doing so, man, I was just hungry for God. I wanted to know God. So I was in church every time the doors were open. I was reading scripture. I was praying. I was spending time with God. I was worshiping him. Anything that I could do to get closer to God, any event, any good believers that I could be around. Man, I was just hungry for more of God. I was zealous after him and after his presence. And But I remember in that season, in my 19, 20 years old, early 20s, that even a few years after that, I became a youth pastor for my father. And all through that season, I struggled a little bit. While I was seeking God, running after Him, I still didn't have it all together. I still had some issues. I still had some negative thoughts. I still had some doubts. I still had some fears. And in the process, the father of all lies, the enemy, it's just like him to discourage us in moments that we're hungry and zealous for God. But I learned as time went on that I was growing in the gift of grace. God was speaking to me things in that season that still speaks to me today in this season, 15 years down the road. And I learned that I was growing in grace. Isn't that just like the enemy, the father of all lies, to discourage us, to lie to us, to hinder us, to make us feel like we aren't worthy of the call and the plan that Jesus has for us? He's the father of all lies. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. Even if you look over in Genesis 3:5, you see when the enemy was a snake and he was lying to Eve in the garden, encouraging her to eat off the tree that she wasn't supposed to, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know what the lie was that he shared to her? That if you just eat of that fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. They were already like God. They were made in his image. But he lied. He's crafty. He's sneaky. And he whispers to us lies. And you may be in a season where you feel like, man, I'm hungry for God. I'm seeking God. I'm worshiping God. I'm in the house of God. But still, the father of all lies tries to attach to some sins that we have hidden deep in our heart. And he tries to convince us that we are a disgrace to the gift of grace that God has given us. What is that sin in your life that he's trying to attach to? What is that sin that he's causing you to feel so unworthy about? Do you occasionally lie and manipulate others to get your way? Take advantage of others so that your business will be successful? And the enemy, you want to get better, but the enemy wants to accuse you, wants to lie to you. Do you feel depressed, discouraged? Do you use filthy language when you get angry? Do you have fits of rage where you just lose control and you just, things are piling up and you just lose your cool? Is there sexual sins hidden in your closet? Sexual immorality, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Maybe you have addictions secretly hidden in the caverns of your heart that nobody knows about. You say, I love God. I want to seek God, but I don't have it all together. And the enemy is using those things in your life to lie, to discourage, to steal your joy, and to cause you to have a downcast spirit, to make you feel like you are a disgrace to the gift of grace that Jesus Christ has given us. I don't share those things to tell anyone how bad you are. I'm here to let you know, because of the grace and power of Jesus, how good you can be. Because I get it. We all stumble. We all fall. In fact, Paul tells us in Romans 3, 23 and 24, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Watch this, verse 24, and are justified by grace as a what? As a gift. justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We all stumble. We all fall. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But I'm here to let you know today that because of the grace of Jesus Christ, at any moment, at any time, you can begin again with repentance. And all it takes is one drop of the blood of Jesus to bring salvation into your life. How many of you are grateful for the grace of Jesus Christ that justifies the sin as a gift, just as if the sin was never, ever committed? God is gracious. But I also want to let you know about God this morning, that God is slow to anger. He's slow to anger. But many times we feel so unworthy. God can't use me. God is angry at me. God is mad at me. I failed again. I stumbled again. I'm never going to have this thing all together. You know why God gave us his grace? Because he knew that we would need it. Stumbled again. God is angry at me. He's mad at me. He's disappointed. I'm never going to walk in the call and the purpose and the plan that God has for me. I'm so unworthy. But David encourages us in Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful. Tell your neighbor, mercy looks good on you. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You see, the father of all lies, the devil, he tries to convince us that God is mad, that God is angry, that God is frustrated. But if God was so angry at us, if he was so upset because we fall short, why would he give us promises like James 4:8 that says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you? Do you understand that that is an open invitation from heaven? That is an open invitation from God Almighty, saying that if you will just draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Doesn't really sound like a father in heaven that is angry, does it? Psalms 86:15, David also said this, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious. Again, he says, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Because he's a God that is slow to anger, we can abound in steadfast love and his faithfulness. You know what that means? That every moment of our life that we have been unfaithful, our God in heaven remains faithful to give us his mercy, to give us his grace, because he is slow to anger. You ought to give God praise this morning that he gives us chance after chance after chance because of the grace of Jesus Christ. He's slow to anger. But God is mad at me. But Paul also encourages us in Romans 5:8 that God shows us his love in this, that while we were still sinners, catch that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for who? Christ died for us while we were still sinners. What a love. What a grace. What a mercy. That the moments that we've been unlovable, he loved us anyway. God is gracious. God is slow to anger. And God is merciful. I want to help you understand mercy. Mercy defined says this. It is compassion and forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish our harm. Think about that. I'm going to read it again. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Another definition says this: a blessing that is an act of divine favor or compassion. Tell somebody that favor ain't fair. An act of divine favor or compassion. It's His mercy. See, we can believe any lie from the Father of all lies that we want to. You can make up any excuse disqualifying yourself from the call and the purpose and the plan that Jesus has for you. I'm not worthy. I'm guilty. I can't do this for God because I struggle with that. God can never use me. After all I've done, why would God want to use me anyway? You can believe any lie you want to. You can disqualify yourself any way that you want to. But I want you to take a look at Hebrews 4:16. It says this: let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I know we get discouraged. I know we get down on ourselves. I know we're hard on ourselves. But the Lord isn't telling us in this moment to come to His throne broken, beaten, defeated, discouraged, knocked down. He's saying, come with confidence. Some versions of the Bible says, come with boldness before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy. Mercy that lets you off the hook. Mercy that forgives you. And to find grace. Grace that forgives. Grace that lets you off the hook. A grace that forgets. And a grace that gives you something that we do not deserve. Can I get a witness this morning? Come with confidence. Come with boldness to the throne of grace to find mercy and to find grace. Over the last few weeks, I picked up this Bible out of my office. Begin to look through it. And this was the Bible that I used a lot in that season, my early 20s and mid-20s. I never had my name put on the front of it. And I didn't even catch this until last night when I was in my office. Didn't have my name put on it. But I got inscribed, His grace is sufficient. I think that young man knew he wasn't perfect. That young man that was zealous after God knew he didn't have it all together. But I knew a grace that was sufficient. I knew how to come to the throne of grace with confidence and boldness. And I'm here to share with you today that I don't do what I get to do. I don't get to be who I am because I earned it. Not because I worked hard. But I get to be who I am. I get to be what I'm called to be because of His mercy. You don't get to do You don't get to do what you do because you earned it, because you worked hard. Yes, that plays a part of it. I get it. I understand. But you get to do what you do. You get to be who you are in Jesus Christ. You get to have what you have because of his mercy. Look around your life. You'll see his mercy and his grace written all over it. You may say, Pastor Jason, I just don't feel like I'm walking in that call. I don't feel like I'm walking in his plan. I don't feel like I've stepped into his purpose. I don't feel like I've stepped into his anointing because of all I've done. I just don't feel like I'm walking in the overflow of God's blessing. But I got news for you. Psalms 23:6. Surely his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Don't matter what season you're in. Don't matter if you're on a spiritual high or a spiritual low. Doesn't matter if you've walked with Jesus for years or you're just now beginning to walk with Jesus. Surely his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. If you're thankful for his grace, if you're grateful for his mercy, if you see it written all over your life because of his hand, his blessing, and his favor, I encourage you to give God praise in this moment right now. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. As the worship team comes and they begin to get in place, I want to circle back to our anchor text. Psalms 145, 8 and 9. This is what we need to know about our God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. And his mercy is over all that he has made. His mercy is over all that he has made. Encourage your neighbor one more time this morning. Mercy looks good on you. Come on, Columbia, help me out. Tell your neighbor, mercy looks good on you. If you haven't caught anything that I've said this morning, I want you to know and I want you to understand this, that God is gracious and God is merciful and God is not mad at you. And his mercy looks good on you. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. God, we thank you for the promises of your word. Father, I pray that even from a moment through the foolishness of preaching, God, that we would experience you and get a revelation of your grace and your mercy. Knowing and understanding that you are gracious and you are merciful and you are slow to anger. And may we understand each and every day of our life that your mercy is over all that you have made. And that your mercy looks good. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand with me to your feet all across this room. For those of you that are with us in Columbia, I want you to stand to us with your stand to your feet. I want you to stay in this mindset of prayer with us. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning, are there things in your life, hidden things in your life, that the Father of all lies has been whispering to you, discouraging you, trying to separate you from a relationship with God, trying to keep you from the presence of God, discouraging you from coming into the house of God? If that's you and the enemy has been discouraging you, but you know that you need a fresh start in Jesus today and you want to experience His grace and His mercy, I just want you to lift your hand. See those hands. Come on, I'll give you another chance. Some things the enemy has been discouraging you with, have some things hidden, but you're ready to confess those to Jesus, and you're ready for a fresh start and a new revelation of His grace and His mercy. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Come on, Columbia, raise your hand if that's you. Amen. Maybe for the first time in your life, you've never accepted Jesus, but you today want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You want His grace. You want His mercy. Just lift your hand. Amen. Amen. I want you to put your hand over your heart. I want to pray over you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And I encourage you to talk to God in your own way. Talk to God like you talk to your very best friend. And I want you to surrender those things to Jesus. And surrender your life to Him afresh and anew. And experience His grace and His mercy. Come boldly. Come with confidence to the throne of grace. Let's pray and talk to God. Father, we thank You so much for the promises of Your word. God, right now we give You every sin, we give You every weight, we give You every hurt, we give You every habit, we give You every hang up, every area where we have fallen short of the glory of God. Lord, we confess to You, we repent, and we turn away from it. And God, we ask for Your forgiveness. We accept Your grace. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and has given us grace to begin again. And we thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. May we have the courage and the boldness to always come to Your throne of grace to find help in the time of need. And may our lives be centered around You for Your glory, for Your power, for Your honor. In Jesus' mighty, holy name. This church said, amen.